This is a real privilege for me to be with you, especially today. I guess so. Enough hands went up last Sunday then to call me in to do. I don't really officially start till June 1st, though. Should just let you know that. No, that's all right. So I want to thank you, by the way, and I do promise to do my best to to make sure you don't regret that decision. I have said to many people, friends of mine, I said, well, make sure you pray for me, but then also pray for the congregation because they've got me now. But I've been seeking the Lord for this, by the way, to serve you in such a way, to be a servant among you, really. It's an answer to prayer for me. I believe at this stage in my life, there's nothing more important than to lift up the name of Jesus and to invite others to join me on this journey in following him. I realized a long, long time ago that, well, I'm never going to be rich or famous or taller, but to pour into people's lives, to encourage people, that's what matters most. And it's going to be what matters most long after I'm gone. So I hope you won't regret this decision that you've made. And here we go. We'll move forward. And I want to start off. I got a couple of Bible verses here this morning, but if you would just turn with me, first of all, to the Gospel of John, John's Gospel, chapter 12. Now, whether you're old school like me, right, and you still use papers, you like to ruffle through paper and ink, or you're already there at John 12 because you have the app that you downloaded on your phone. And I have one of those too, by the way. I enjoy it a lot. But I just want to read, actually, first of all, just one verse here in John chapter 12, and it's verse 32. So John 12, verse 32. And Jesus says, "And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all people to myself." Now, John explains here, if you read on, that Christ said this, right, to show what kind of a death he was going to die, being lifted up on the cross. And he said he would draw all people to himself. Now, I have to confess, I've longed to be what is known as a universalist for most of my Christian life, actually, this idea that everybody will eventually all be saved. And the Bible sometimes is clear, right? In Jesus, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting people's sins against them. That's 2 Corinthians 5. And I've often said to the Lord, if he ever decided to forgive everybody, he certainly wouldn't hear any argument from me, right? My salvation is an absolute gift. It's one that I do not deserve, I never have, and I never will. But the scriptures are also very clear that even with God's gracious offer of forgiveness and fellowship with him forever in heaven, there are those who are just not interested. Now, I believe God is interested in them. I think he's interested in all people. He takes no pleasure in the death of anybody. So I believe, just as we sang there, his goodness runs after us. I believe he is continually calling, right? Softly and tenderly, Jesus keeps calling every single person, "Come unto me." But if you are somebody and you have decided that you're not interested in a relationship with your Creator, you're not actively seeking him, well, you just won't find him. And of course, in a prosperous country like Canada, you can carve out a pretty fine life for yourself without having anything to do with God. You ever think about that? He's that gracious, by the way. He gives you free air to breathe, gives you rain on your fields. And here, up above the 49th parallel, think about it. You live in a country like Canada, so we've got things like, oh, life insurance, health insurance, retirement plans. You can get along in Canada quite well with no thought toward your soul. Now, just in case any of that sounded just fine to anybody listening here this morning, I do have to warn you, if you do decide to live your life with no time for God, then you must be prepared to one day stand before a God who reluctantly will have no time for you. And that's not a good plan for your future. But in fact, because you're here this morning, that kind of tells me that maybe you do have an interest in your soul. So when I think about those words of Jesus, I quoted to you, John 12, verse 32, if I be lifted up, they really describe, I think, the role of any person in church leadership, pastors, Sunday school teachers, Bible study leaders. Well, for that matter, entire church congregations, right? You're all priests, by the way, if you've come to Jesus, you know that, right? This is for every member of the body of Christ. We all come to the cross as sinners in need of grace and mercy and help. You may just have, you know, sins that are a little different than mine. That's all. I remember asking the Lord on several occasions, right? How does a church stand up for the truth? How do we stand up for truth? How do we condemn the sin in the world? Right? We want to point out the holy, righteous standards of the God who someday will judge us all. But how do we do that? Recognizing that we too are fallen creatures, every single one of us. And I think I got an answer here in John 12 and verse 32. You see, now it is very easy, far too easy. And right now, of course, I'm not at a pulpit or anything, but it's even more dramatic, right? When you stand up at a big wooden platform and you find your biggest, darkest Bible you can find, one you can really pound on. It is very easy to thunder down to all you people out there that, hey, you don't measure up. Are you really reading your Bible enough? How much time do you spend in prayer every day? I mean, in some churches, it's judgment day every Sunday, isn't that? But if I can lift up Jesus, if I can point you to him, certainly not to me, certainly not to any other person or church, if I can hold up the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, then he's the one that's going to do the convicting through the Holy Spirit. My job is not to point out every bad thing about you while hiding every bad thing about me. But when you come to Christ, when you open yourself up to him, when you say, Lord, I want to follow you, well, then he shows you those areas in your life that need changing, rearranging, things you need to leave behind, other things you need to take up. So may God help me. May God help all of you to keep pointing people away from ourselves and to encourage them to keep fixing their eyes on Jesus. And if you're feeling a little bit, struggling a little bit here today, listen, he started the work in you. He's the one who started it. He will complete it, no matter how long it may take. So may we just learn to get out of the way a little more often and let him do his work. Now, just last week, a Facebook friend of mine posted this. It's from Pastor Steve Fleming. Steve and his wife were the pastoral couple who began the church called Koinonia Christian Fellowship out in Bloomingdale, right? They like triple the population of Bloomingdale every Sunday. Now, he's somewhat retired by now, but I like this quote. Somebody just posted this the last week on Facebook, and I'm just going to kind of borrow it right here. He said this. He said, God only has imperfect people to deal with, so God is never intimidated by our imperfections. Isn't that good? Now, with that in mind, I want you to turn to an incident in the life of Peter the Apostle in Luke chapter 5. Just want to read the first 11 verses. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, that is the Sea of Galilee, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch. Simon answered, Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets. Now you think about Peter with all his rough and tough fishermen friends, and they're all going, Peter, what are you doing? We were out fishing all night. What are you going back out there for? Well, you know, the preacher guy wants us to, they're all laughing at him. Now, here's the thing though. When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." Didn't even say thanks for the fish. It's like, nope, you go away. I'm a sinful man. For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they'd taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. And then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people." So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. You know, I've often thought to myself, it's a good thing Jesus called these fishermen to be his disciples, right? Because they were terrible at fishing, right? How often do you read that in the Bible? How did they ever make a living, right? Did you catch any fish? No. You children got any fish? No. Been up all night, no fish. Now, before I go any further, let me add a couple verses. It's in a letter known as 1 John. So that's way back, if you want to turn there, 1 John chapter 1. I said we'd have a few verses here. And that's, let's see, if you got to go past Peter. If you get to Jude and Revelation, you've gone too far. Because they're just little books there. But 1 John chapter 1, just a couple verses there. 1 John 1, verses 5 to 9. John writes this: "This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him, there's no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar and his word is not in us. But if we confess, he cleanses us from it all, doesn't he?" As Steve Fleming said, God only has imperfect people to deal with. So God is never intimidated by our imperfections. I was just thinking, starting this role as the pastor, I am so glad that that is the truth. I got imperfections. Now, I remember hearing this little story. And by the way, I figured too, like, it's like God's only used sinful people. So why not? I figured, why not? Why not me? Why not you? Now, I remember hearing a story one time, somebody shared this. It's about 30 years ago. I've never forgotten this story. And I often think about it. And especially when I read the story about Peter in the boat with the big catch of fish. And the story goes back, well, I guess maybe probably to the 1950s. And there was a man over in England, and he was telling all his friends about his trip that he took to America. "Oh, I was over in America. Oh, oh, yes, indeed." And he spent some time over here in America, and it was the night before he was ready to set sail for back home, and he was walking along the streets of New York City, just kind of, taking in the bright lights once again. And as he's walking down the street, he comes to this odd little store. I mean, it's a very thin little store. There's just one window, and there's these lights up at the top of the window, and they're shining down on one thing. And the only thing that he saw in the window was a necktie. And he's looking at that necktie and realizing, wow, that's a really nice looking necktie. oh, well, why not? I've been traveling. I got to bring back a souvenir from America, right? So he goes into the store. Now, when he gets into the store, as weird as the window thing was, the store itself was pretty strange. It was, again, a little thin, narrow store, and there was nothing but mirrors all over the place. All he could see was himself in mirrors. And he's looking around, and suddenly, from behind one of the mirrors, comes this little man in a dark blue suit, comes out from behind one of the mirrors. Says, good evening, sir. Welcome. Yes, thank you. You noticed the necktie. And he thought, well, there was nothing else to notice. He said, let me get you one, sir. So off he went to the back room, came back out with this necktie. He said, oh, why don't we put it on? Sure. You can look in the mirror if you like. And he thought, it's all I can do is look in a mirror. So he ties up the necktie on the man. There you are, sir. Have a look in the mirror. Isn't that a lovely necktie? Pure silk, you know. Well, the fellow's looking in the mirror. Wow. Sure enough. Boy, this necktie, boy, this is really nice. He glances over at the little man. And for the first time, he notices that the little man is also wearing the same necktie. Except his necktie looks a lot better. And he's wondering, oh, of course, the little fella had on this really nice, clean, starched white shirt. And he, of course, had, just his regular shirt on. It probably had a little ring around the collar. He'd been out traveling, a little bit worn. And he says, that's a nice shirt you got on there. The little fella said, oh, you like this? Oh, yes, yeah, 100% cotton. I think I might have one in your size. So he gets his little measuring tape, measures the man's neck, runs back, comes back out with the shirt. Let's put it on, sir, just to get the full picture. Yeah, okay. So he puts his white shirt on, puts the necktie back on, gets his nice, coat back on, looks into the mirror, and then suddenly he notices, the little fella has this nice navy blue pinstripe suit on. Now, he's got his corduroy coat on that he's had for a long time. And in fact, he probably spent the first couple weeks of the trip in a suitcase, right? So it's kind of wrinkled. And he's looking down, glancing at the little man. And the little fella says, perhaps you've noticed my suit. I couldn't help but, it's 100% wool. I think I might have one in your size, 42. I think so. I'll be right back. Little fella goes away behind the mirror, comes back out. Why don't we put it on, sir? So he puts on this nice suit. He pins it up so that the crease is just like straight as an arrow right down to his feet, right? Because his pants were all kind of, he'd been traveling. Well, now they're standing in front of the mirror, the man from England and the little fella in the men's store. Oh, he's just looking at just, boy, this is like, wow, what a beautiful. He gets down to looking at the little man's shoes. Now, his shoes, they were kind of scuffed up, right? He hadn't shined them in a long time, and he'd been traveling around. The little fella's shoes, they were these black patent leathers. They were shining in all the lights. And he's looking down, and the little fella says, they're Italian, 100% leather. What size are you? 8.5. I'll be right back. Goes in behind, comes back out. And of course, puts the shoes on. Well, the whole story here. He went in to buy a necktie, but he ended up buying a whole suit. In fact, last I heard, he was leaving the store because he also noticed that the little fella's hair was all just perfectly combed, right? And his was all kind of mushy and he needed a haircut like I do. And he looked, he's from England. He looked like Boris Johnson, And so he said to the little fella, and the little guy looked at him and said, oh, yes, I'll tell you what, the best barber in town is just across the street. It's my brother. And you tell him I sent you and he'll give you a discount. I remember that story whenever I think of Peter in the boat, and I'll tell you why. Now, never in a condemning way, right? But just standing next to that little well-dressed man caused that visitor to begin to realize, hey, I'm I'm looking a little shabby here. I mean, I thought I was okay, but, well, next to this guy. Now, by the way, before I go any further, you know, Hollywood has a, they've been giving us an idea for years, you know, of what really true beauty is. Don't buy that for a moment, right? You are all fearfully and wonderfully made. So we don't promote that. But Peter, in that boat, it's what he sensed when he saw that miracle of fish, right? He suddenly realized, okay, this isn't just some, you know, minister, some preacher guy, some, well, regular run of the mill. This isn't like a, like the Pharisees, not the sad. This is like, this is somebody special. Uh-oh, this is not just a regular person. And his first thought was, Lord, depart from me. Go away. No. People like you shouldn't be hanging around with people like me, right? He suddenly realized, and maybe for the first time in his life, I'm unclean. I mean, you belong to a far better class of people than me. It's best if you just move along now. Thank you for the fish, but you'll feel more comfortable with your own kind. I know I'll feel more comfortable with mine. Right? You see, up to that point, if you'd asked Peter, he would have said to you, hey, I'm not such a bad guy, right? And his friends would all agree, oh yeah, Peter, he's a blanking great guy. But coming into the light, Jesus said it to Nicodemus in John chapter 3. He said, this is the verdict. This is the condemnation. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness because their deeds were evil. When we refuse to come into God's light, that's when we start down the road that leads to condemnation and to judgment. The prophet Isaiah, he experienced the same thing. I don't know if you ever read it, but there was a vision in Isaiah chapter 6, right? He said, I saw the Lord high and exalted, right? In the temple and everything all filled with smoke. And first words that came out of Isaiah's mouth were, woe is me. Oh no, I'm ruined. I'm a man of unclean lips, and the people I hang around with, they're just as bad as I am. But the angel in this vision comes with that live coal in his hand, right? And touches the prophet's lips and basically burns away, cauterizes the sin. And he says, see, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away. Your sin's been atoned for. So then, when God says, who are we going to send? The next words that come out of Isaiah's mouth are, hey, here am I, send me, right? Well, if you're willing to forgive me, you're willing to accept me, then I want to serve you. That's Isaiah 6, verses 1 to 8. If you're, well, if that story is new to you, it's worth reading. As I conclude here this morning, I want to leave one sentence with you this morning, all right? It's this one. Keep coming into the light. Keep coming in to God's light. Keep drawing close to Jesus, the light of the world. Oh, yes, you are going to see things about yourself that you don't like, things you'd rather hide in the dark somewhere. The light of Jesus does expose us, and that causes too many of us to shrink away, hide our gifts even, right? Stay back in the shadows. But as Romans 8, verse 1 declares, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. So, like the man in the men's shop, you will start resembling Jesus. The more you study him, the closer you get to him. More and more, you'll start to look more like him. In fact, I want to propose to you this morning that until you have an experience like Peter had in that boat, unless you've had an experience like the prophet Isaiah, right? Woe is me. If God's not a God of grace and mercy, I'm finished. I'm not even going to get another breath. Unless you've had a time like that in your life, or if you're like me, maybe you've had a few of them, then I'm not sure you've ever seen the Lord at all. Ooh, there's a hard thing to say, isn't there? But you know, somebody that insists, oh, I'm pretty good. You know, the person who remains a little on the self-righteous side, you will discover that that person actually is the farthest away from the Lord. They simply don't know him. Now, the person who is closest to Jesus, that'll be the man or woman who is often more likely the hardest on themselves, right? Harder on themselves than they are on other people. So let me remind you once again, Romans chapter 8, and I remind myself, God only uses imperfect people, right? Any condemnation you get will not be from him. He's accepted you. He's received you in Jesus Christ. But the more time you spend coming into the light, then the closer you get to the Lord. And as you feed yourself on his word, I sure hope, you know, you're not counting on just the 20 minutes or so that I share with you every Sunday. You got to feed yourself in the word of God through the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit works in that word too. But the more and more you will be astounded that somebody this beautiful as the God who made the universe, that somebody this beautiful could have anything to do with the likes of you. You'll just be so amazed with that. And the less likely you will be to judge anybody. But you'll want more and more to invite everybody to join you in living their life for this one. You know, he knows all about you, but he loves you just the same. And come to think of it, there's no better definition of a true friend than that, is there? Let me just share with you, I thought we'd just end off with a little song. It's an old song. And I'll have to get Mary to share the screen with us once again. And it's an old Bill Gaither song. It's just a chorus here called Gentle Shepherd. You want to sing that with me? Gentle Shepherd, come and lead us, for we need you to help us find our way. Gentle Shepherd, come and feed us, for we need your strength from day to day. There's no other we can turn to who can help us face another day. Gentle Shepherd, come and lead us, for we need you to help us find our way. Lord, help us find our way. You are the shepherd.